Welcome to Agency Highway. This is a podcast for digital agencies and freelancers who want to grow their business, earn more, and work less. Each episode, you'll hear from agency owners that are killing it, meet epic people that can help you along your journey, or just listen to me ramble on about something I think is cool. Head to agencyhighway.com for transcripts, action notes, and to join the community. I'm your host, James Rose. Now, let's get into it. This podcast is brought to you by ContentSnare. ContentSnare helps digital agencies get content from their clients on time, in the right format, without email. If you've ever needed to get content from clients, you'll know how painful it can be. You end up constantly chasing them for weeks or months, and by the time it's ready, there's a 900-long email trail full of massive images and a couple of brochures from 6 years ago. ContentSnare makes this a thing of the past by collecting content from your clients in the right format the first time and does all the chasing for you. Try it on your next project by signing up at ContentSnare.com. Welcome back to another episode of Agency Highway. Today, we are speaking with Lee Goff, who is pretty much a legend in the agency space. Thank you for joining me, Lee.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for having me on, James.
I'm going to go ahead and start introducing you and butchering it like I do, and then I'll hand it over to you. But look, actually, no, I'm not doing an intro. I just want to talk about this awesome
thing. Hey, it's right after a big break. You know what I mean? Let's just swing it, man. It's going to be a good content day today.
So. Oh, yeah. I like the ones that are just like chill. And someone actually reached out to me the other day and said they love the podcast. And I was like, just out of curiosity, so I can keep doing whatever it is that you like, what is it that you like? And they were like, I just like that you have these like really chill, laid back conversations with people who are killing it. And I was like, oh, cool. I can do that. That's really easy. Cause then all I have to do is wait.
Authenticity. If they like authenticity, they're about to get a couple, they're going to get a couple spoons for us today. So that's what I do, man. Authenticity is not my problem. But.
Oh man. And like we were just talking about offline, I haven't recorded an episode in probably a month or something now. So I'm going to be a little bit rusty, but maybe that's a good thing.
That'll work. I know my stuff, and I mean, we're going to be all over it. So
absolutely.
I'm excited about the topic today. We've been working on this for a while. We got it dialed in. So.
And on that note, we are talking about productization of agencies. And I love this topic, right? Because I just realized I say that literally every time. But, I mean, that just means getting the right people on, I guess. I love this topic, especially since I read the Built to Sell book, which is starting to become pretty like godlike status in the books you should read for business world, which I'll link up in the show notes. But it follows a fictitious graphic design company who they're like struggling with all the custom work and stuff coming in. And they eventually sort of change all their processes and they end up doing logos, I think it is. Anyway,
like one really kick-ass product. So.
Yeah, and then they like have different packages around different sort of logos you can get and what comes with it. And they turn everything into a process and it makes everything easier from like getting clients, doing the work, even through to hiring. So
everything, messaging, your messaging is what's called on a rope. We're going to get into this here in a second. Being on a rope is one of the six things you got to have to be productized. And to your point, Built to Sell, was actually one of the books that I used along with my over 15 years experience of building agencies. And I actually used, it's kind of an obscure story I'll explain here in a second, but history, what's called the Toyota, the Agile, real-time inventory. Okay. Mm-hmm. I took some pieces of that. I took some pieces of Built to Sell. And then of course with my vast experience in this whole thing. And that's what we came up with is the productization model and how to productize your agency for a digital agency. See, that hard part is that digital agency part, right?
So, yeah, totally.
Exactly. And so we have cracked the code. Me and my students have been working on this and we're just super excited about it. So.
Yeah. And many owners of digital agencies are just so ingrained in their business that they, without them, it'd kind of fall over, which is another part of the whole productization thing is it makes the business saleable because once you're out of the business, you can sell that as an asset, right? And that's why I know you have sold an agency, which is
awesome.
So tell us about it.
And I tell you what, I didn't do as good a job about this as I had. If I had, I'd have gotten another X on that multiplier. You know what I mean? But lessons learned. I'm not complaining. Not complaining at all. Just lessons. As you go through things like that, you just learn what could have made it a little better, a little whatever. Right? So just that's exactly right. So
yeah,
sold that
Let's talk about it. Let's. How did you get to the process of selling an agency, and what you do different, you know?
Yeah, so, you know, I started my first agency in 2003, literally from the bedroom. Yeah, from the bedroom. I know, right? It seems like so. And at the time, it wasn't even digital marketing. It was web marketing. I don't know, you know, I don't know how long you've been in the space, but it went from web marketing to internet marketing to digital marketing. And so now it's kind of settled on digital marketing. And I think it's perfect for where the industry needs to be. But it started in 2003, literally in my upstairs bedroom, me and my wife, at the time, we're divorced now, but we started it, and it grew into where I got one suite, you know, on it's like the historic district in the town that I live in. And so we had one suite, went to two suites, and then three suites, and then moved out of that into a big, like, you know, 5,000 square foot log cabin that I owned and purchased and all that fun stuff. And eventually got to the point where I retired from my agency at the age of 40, and then I sold it at the age of 43 to pursue what I'm doing now. Because as a result of when your agency gets big, well, you're not dealing with clients as much. You're dealing with like leadership teams and project managers and attorneys and CPAs and bankers, and you know, you're dealing with all that stuff. And I missed that. And so I pulled back from that and went back into working specifically with small business owners. And I love it. Absolutely love it. So
nice. And now you help agency owners do all kinds of stuff. I assume productization is one of them.
That is one of them. I have 12 different, I have a lot of different things I coach on, but the 12 primary things that I coach on, you know, I'm not going to list all of them, but it's an entire like roadmap, for lack of a better term, on how to build an agency, whether it be from pricing to your service framework, how to get more leads, sales and marketing automation, nice. You know, proposals and all that fun stuff. Right. And so, and the reality is that all of that stuff gets 10 times, I mean, so much easier whenever you have your products, in alignment with your messaging and you have, it's how you build your products is the secret sauce here. It's not the fact that you can't dream up a big package. It's how you build it. I'm looking forward to getting into that today. But it's really neat. You know, it's a really neat process. And whenever you hear about it, you're like, oh, duh, that makes sense. Why didn't I think about that sooner? And I'm going to explain that as well. There's actually a historical reason, a history-based reason on why the industry had not evolved into this where it's going right now over time. So it's really neat.
Well, let's dive into it. So we decided on the topic of what six systems required to productize your agency. So shall we start at system one, or is there like a preamble?
No. Well, let me give you a little bit. Okay. Whenever you go to productize your agency, there are a lot of factors that come into play. You always hear about certain terms, right? Value-based pricing, begin with the end in mind, you know, have everything on a row, you know, like standardized and all this stuff like that, where you can just hand things off and all that fun stuff. But nobody ever tells you like physically how to go about doing that. It's so conceptual. They never actually physically tell you physically how to go about doing that. And so what I want to make sure that we focus on today is that there are six different systems that actually have to be in place to be effectively productize your agency. So I'm going to hit at a very high level what those six systems are. Now, obviously, in each one of those systems, there's a lot of, you know, there's devils in the details, right?
Of course. So, right?
And so, but it all boils down to solving some very basic human needs. And so I'm going to give an example. I want to give the history example of why the industry where it is and why productization is all of a sudden a big damn deal. Everybody's talking about it. Why all of a sudden out of the blue is everybody's talking about productization? Why? Right. Well, let me explain that. Okay. And again, I'm just trying to kind of lay the foundation here before we get into the six systems. You know, in 1920 or 20, in the early 20s, like that, you could buy any color Model T you wanted as long as it was black. Okay, that was it. You didn't have options. You could get four wheels and black. That was it. That was all you could do. Because, you know, Henry Ford was trying to figure out how to build the actual mass production assembly line. It had never been done before in the automobile industry. And so he's literally figuring out, what does this mean? What is this? You know, do I need a conveyor belt here? Do I need a welding machine here? You know, he's literally figuring out where to put the different pieces. And so at that moment in time, it's not logical to to even entertain options and more product add-ons to that. All you have is one simple product. That's the Model T. That's it. Get it in black. That's it. Game over. Because if you attempt to productize, if you attempt to add options at that point, then you spread yourself so thin that you can't perfect the core of what your product line is, which is ultimately the Model T. Now, jump ahead 20, 25 years till post-World War II, and you can get four-wheel drive, you can get convertibles, you can get hot rods, you can get motorcycles, you can get Jeeps, you can get about any dadgum thing. And then jump ahead another 30 years, and now you're going to be getting into electric cars and all kinds. I mean, it's self-driving cars. It's, you know, it's freaking awesome. So point being is that it took the industry probably about 20 to 30 years to develop all of the systems and tools required to effectively mass produce a product. Okay, it's not rocket science. What I'm saying is like that makes sense. Well, think about our industry. I mean, hell, it was just literally dreamed up by Al Gore, 5 or 6 years ago, right? I mean, literally. And so if you think about it in the timeline like that, we're right on track. So if you're old enough to remember all this stuff, you know, AOL was the dominant email and search engine for a long time. I mean, for years. I mean, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Then it went to Firefox and MSN. First it was MSN and IE, right? Yep. And then it went to Firefox. And now it's Google, and Chrome is kicking everybody's ass, and that's not going to be changing anytime soon. But Google has the dust has settled. Google owns that space. Facebook didn't even exist. Now that space is there. Search engine optimization, Google AdWords, all of these things, these platforms had to evolve and develop. And they were changing so fast that anytime you attempted to build a product around a platform that was changing that fast, you're the idiot in the room because it's going to change and you can't really do anything with it. Okay. Mm. So now the industry is kind of, the dust is settled. You know, we know what tools we're going to be using.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's arguing. Look, WordPress, Google, Facebook, some kind of CRM. There can be a lot of different CRMs, but I promise you the core tools is probably going to be 90% the same across the board. Like landing pages. Look, nobody even knew what the hell a landing page was 15 years ago. It didn't. Are you kidding me? It was a freaking ad in a magazine. Nobody even knew what the hell. It didn't exist. It didn't exist. Okay. So now we're in a situation where all this stuff is standardized. We know what a landing page is. We know what a VSL is. We know how to set up a Facebook ads. We know to drive them to landing page. We know what UTM parameters. We know what all this stuff means. We know what it all is. That stuff didn't even exist. UTM parameters, that term it wasn't even part of the English language probably 12 to 15 years ago. It just literally came about. So,
I wonder if there's someone like frantically Googling what a UTM parameter is right now after hearing this. I imagine there'll be a couple, but I hope not.
Probably so. If you're like a design shop, you probably don't know what that is. But anybody who's ever paid for any media buying at all,
yeah,
trust me, you know what UTM parameters are. So,
yes.
You know, that leads us into the 6 systems, okay? There are 6 of them. So let me go through these 6 systems. First, you got to have everything on a rope. What's called a rope. So it's got a rope. Being on a rope is actually one of the systems. That means you begin with the end in mind. That means that all of your lead magnets and your proposals and everything, the messaging is congruent in perfect alignment from point of contact to referral. Because here's what happens, okay? In today's shiny object kind of society, people are honestly more and more sensitive to bullshit
than
ever in the history of
life. Thank God. I am very happy about that.
me too. Because good people are starting to rise to the top, the bullshit's starting to float to the bottom. I mean, you know, I hope it keeps going that direction.
Yeah, yeah.
But a lot of times they're not even sure why they don't like a certain person or a certain vendor or whatever it is. It just doesn't feel right. You know what I mean? But if it's not in alignment with what they're searching for, they're probably not going to return your calls and your emails, your texts, whatever it is, because something just doesn't feel right. It's out of alignment. So, you know, it's just out of alignment. I read this in the lead magnet. When I talked to the sales rep, he said this or she said this. And then I got the proposal, and the proposal said this and contradicted that and that. And I'm just like, I don't know, man. Ding, 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 you know, and that happens a lot, especially when you're getting into custom work, bespoke work. Because your lead magnets, you can't begin with the end in mind on custom work. It's not possible.
Yeah.
You're dreaming that shit up every time, man. It's not possible to have a lead magnet that sets the expectation levels for a product and a proposal whenever you're dreaming the products and the proposals up on the fly. It obviously can't happen there. So everything on a rope, that's the first system you got to do. You got to understand that you develop your products in an object-oriented fashion. Once you get your products developed, then at that point, your lead magnets, your proposals, your scope documents, your technical checklist, everything is in perfect alignment around the value proposition and the USPs for that product.
And you should be doing this on one product to start with, I assume, to make it much easier.
Only one product to get started. And it's going to be a pain in the butt. Okay, to get that first one done is a pain in the butt. Okay.
Yeah.
But once, first off, I'm sorry. You develop all of your products. I'm sorry. And the reason you develop all of your products first is because they have to be in alignment. Okay, the congruency part. So this product needs to lead to this product. This product needs to lead to that product. Makes sense? I'm saying like Lego.
What are some examples of products? Just to clear it up for people.
Sure. It's very difficult to do a product in a jack of all trades kind of scenario. So it's easier to give an example of somebody's already niched out. So let me give you an example of somebody who's already niched out. One of my coaching students has niched out into the craft brewery space. Nice. Okay. And that's her niche. And it's awesome. I feel like I would
get on with her a lot.
Oh, I totally agree with that. So if you don't think niche, I'm going to take advantage of this niche because I love it. So anyway, one of the products is basically in the past, she could put together, everything was custom, right? So she had to dream it up. And so with craft breweries, there's what's called Untappd. There's an app out there called Untappd. Okay. And it's like the 800 pound gorilla. It's like Facebook and social media. If you're not integrated with it, then you ain't doing nothing. And so her website is like, instead of being based upon how many pages, it's based upon the functionality. So you're going to get a contact us form, you're going to get the Untappd API integration, the menu integration, and all these different things. And that's a predefined product of $4,000 for the website. You get 5 pages. That's it. That's a simple website. Okay. So you productize, and that 90% of that product's identical across the board for all industries. It's that other 10% that allows you to productize. That productization is where you're solving specific pain points for a specific industry with a specific target audience.
Nice.
Because let me give you another example. So for craft breweries, they serve typically a 50-mile radius, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so once you do a Google AdWords account for somebody in Raleigh, North Carolina, and you crush it and you get it dialed in, you got all the keywords, the negative keywords, the ads, the extensions, everything perfectly dialed in. Then you go to somebody in Charlotte, North Carolina, and say, hey, I have perfectly dialed in this Google AdWords campaign. It works like a boss. I'm crushing it in Raleigh right now.
Yeah, this is good. I just realized I was nodding, and people listening can't see that. But yeah, so
now you just take that, you tarball it, or you bundle it all up in a master file. Yeah. And so you go to the person in Charlotte, and all you do is just upload the master file. So not only that, you just doubled your damn prices to the person in Charlotte because you can guarantee results.
That's awesome.
Okay, and that's Google AdWords, Facebook ads, all of them. It's how you package your stuff, not that you have to change anything that you're doing. You can still do custom work with productization.
For sure. Do you recommend sort of focusing on just one or two products to start with, though? Like, I'm just trying to work out, like, if I was going to do this, I'd be like, oh my God, I have so much stuff now. I have to try and do this AdWords thing and this website thing and social campaigns.
Yeah, no.
It's product does.
I wish I could share my screen. I'll show you an example of it. It's best to set your products up in what's called a client path alignment. So, because think about that for a second. People come in, you need a foot in the door product offering. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then you need your base model, like your Model T or your 1500 truck or your Tesla, whatever. Yeah. You understand? Like the base model, right? And then you have add-ons to the base model. So the base model is a base website or a base Google Ads. Well, the Google Ads, now we can add retargeting and we can add this and we can add that.
Yeah.
It's like a little object that bolts on. So you need to think that, because you don't want to get somebody who just comes in and does a website and then goes and does everything else for somebody else, because if they do that, then eventually they're going to cut you out.
Yeah. So what would just back at the start, what's a foot in the door kind of example? Would that be like an audit? Is that a foot in the door kind of thing?
One example, one of my coaching students is niching out into video marketing for property management companies. And so one of their foot in the door offerings is either like $49 or $99. I can't remember. Stupid, ridiculously cheap. Mm-hmm. And all it is like they write out a little script and they plug it into this little XML thing, and it pulls the data into the video. It's a pre-templated video, but it's nice. It's professional, you know, and it puts in their copy and some of their photos, and it's like, I mean, it takes them, I think it takes them, I mean, 30 minutes or so or something, yeah, maybe, to deliver it. So they really, and they don't really make any money. I think it's, I can hear, I think it's like, I'll tell you.
It's all right, but that's a really, yeah, good example.
It's like $50 or something, you know, because, and there's two foot in the doors. Let me give you an example. In their space, the property manager is going to be like, dude, I don't know anything about video. Fuck video. I ain't dealing with video. No. Okay. Okay. I'll tell you what, man, I'll get you a video for $50. If you like the video, then you will at least hear me out on the rest of it. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Right now, the other ones are like, oh yeah, man, I've heard about video marketing. You know, truth is I can never find an agency to do what I want to do. I know I want to do it. I just don't know exactly what I want to do. Mm. Okay, great, man. We have a discovery phase where we come in and it's $1,000 and we do the entire strategic mapping, planning, content, everything. Mm-hmm. Okay. And at that point, if you move forward with us on the recommendations, we'll give you $1,000 credit towards whatever we recommend. If not, then you have a full-fledged report that you can go on and do whatever you want to go do with. Right. So what you do is you isolate the pain points and the buy cycle for your target audience, and you create foot in the door offerings, mm-hmm, that make it almost like you'd be an idiot not to do it kind of scenario.
And yeah, by doing it. It's a cool, I didn't realize we'd kind of done that with our custom development stuff, because that's the part, yeah, of the agency we still have left is our sort of custom development, as in like Ruby on Rails, Angular, like very much web apps, some mobile apps and whatever. And yep, we've had situations where we can't quote because they just don't know enough about what they want or whatever, and they don't want to do like an hourly agile type thing. So we end up doing a UX design phase, where it's just wireframes or something. Maybe we have make pretty as well or whatever. And we say, once this is done, you can take this to any developer and they'll,
exactly, be able to build. And by the way, that's actually the key. If they ever get the hint that you're trying to block them in, like kind of rat them into where they got to use you, dude, it's over. It is over. You have got to deliver overwhelming value in that report, that discovery phase, and it's got to stand on its own 2 feet. They have to see that you're above the line and you're doing the right thing. That's so important, because now they're going to see that, and you can charge another 20% for the contract that you would have, like, 30 days, you're going to charge $1,500 for it. Today, you're going to charge $2,000 for it, because you put value in the process of delivering the discovery phase.
Yeah, nice.
See what I'm saying? All right, so that's that. Number one is the first system. Number two, okay, is what's called Legos. All right, and I've got to give you some Legos as an example. Legos, I call it, is actually my productization model, the name of it's actually called the Legos pricing model. Okay. And the reason it's called the Legos pricing model is because what you do is you have your core offerings, and then you have bolt-on add-ons. Okay. And if anybody's ever got kids out there, you know, you can buy Lego sets and you have that little base, you know, the little base, little plate thing you put things on. Then the rest of them, you just put, like, you know, you put whatever the hell you want to. And you can literally give the same 25 Legos to 10 different kids, and you will legit get 10 completely different things. And then they won't even look the same. It will be completely like, you're like, what the hell? Right. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, still all the same exact 25 Legos. They were all made in the same manufacturer. There was no interruption to process. The owner did not have to get involved to paint those Legos or nothing like that. It's just they sold one of the 50 billion Legos they printed out in the last 100 years or whatever, right?
So how would this work in, say, a website project? What's an example of a single piece of Lego?
Okay, a single piece of Lego is all website packages. You have, like, let's say you have a base website core offering, okay, and you have two cores. One of them is like a basic website. It's 5 pages, a contact us form, and a Google Maps integration, and an Untapped integration. $4,000. Okay, the next one is also 5 pages. Okay, but it comes with the API integration instead of the contact us form. It actually comes with a CRM web form integration and 2 follow-ups. You know, in other words, it's like the functionality behind it is different, and it's different for every single one of them. So those are your 2 core deals. Now the add-ons, a lot of people need more than 5 pages. So you sell packs of 3 pages for $2,000 if it's custom, $1,000 if it's templated.
And that's, oh, so sorry. Yeah. The Lego is the pricing model. For some reason I was thinking it was the actual delivery. Yeah. 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 So
then they want to bolt on a Shopify store. That's $5,000. Or they want to bolt on.
Gotcha.
They want to bolt on. A good example is like a document, a little login area to swap documents back and forth. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a document system. You can actually get Dropbox now embedded on a website. A little private login. There it is. And it's beautiful. It looks like it's your fucking website. It's awesome. it's like magic to them. You know what I'm talking about? They're like, wow.
Oh, yeah.
And you can charge $500 or $600 for it. Your brand, it's a little work. It's probably 4 or 5 hours before you got to brand it out and make it look sharp, you know. But then again, you know, it's endless. I mean, you know, a good example is do the website package without the API untapped integration. And add on to add that is $500. Me, I like my students to include it because that's part of your value prop. Anytime anyone is negotiating against you, they have to spend 10, 12, 15 hours figuring it out. You can upload a zip file and you're done.
Mm-hmm.
So you can beat them on price and make more profit.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's how you put your Legos together. They all have to stand on their own 2 feet. They're typically unimpressive by themselves, but they can build literally anything.
I like that. And so, I guess you have to be pretty selective in your Legos. Like
you can only sell your Legos, and you can only sell your Legos. If they want anything that falls outside of a Lego, they must pay for the strategic planning discovery phase because there's no way for you to know. You can't read their damn mind.
Boom. That's awesome. That's a massive for me, I think. Like, yeah, so you've got, and you do anything outside of your Legos, you force them into a discovery phase. And that makes total sense.
Oh, you have to, man. I mean, come on, man. They've been building this business 5, 10, 15 years. Do you really think you're smart enough to figure out what the fuck they want in 30 minutes? I mean, come on, man. It drives me insane when I hear agency owners do that and sales reps do that. They just start throwing shit at them. I'm like, man, you probably don't even know their fucking last name, dude. I mean, you don't know anything about these people, and you're throwing out solutions that are going to be very expensive and impact their lives without having any idea of what the hell they need, man. It's just like, come on, man. I mean, come on. I'm telling you, I've won more deals by holding firm on this. I will get on the phone with a prospect. They're on the phone with 3 or 4 other people, and they will say, I need to get a proposal. I'm like, I mean, I can't give you a proposal. Why not? Everybody else is. And I'm like, well, because they're rookies at this and they don't know what the hell they're doing. But the reality is you're about to spend a lot of money somewhere. Okay. And I am not going to take your money unless I know I can deliver on what the hell you want.
Mm.
Period.
And if they come back and say, then like start kicking and screaming and demanding the proposal, that's a pretty big red flag. You probably shouldn't work with them anyway. Right. That's a good filter.
In that particular case, you price them out. So you take what you would have normally charged for it, you double it, you give them a proposal. If they bite off on it, then they're going to be worth it. If not, then piss off. I mean, they're going to be a horrible client, so you better make it worth your time, period. Yeah. They're going to suck. They're going to be the biggest pain in the ass client ever. You end up right there, they're going to continue to give it to you. Make no mistake about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why, like, you know, we've done that whole double thing before, and they've gone for it, and we've gone, crap, like we wish they didn't. So next time.
I'm telling you, at least you get paid. Hey, at least you can go get some Chuck Taylors, you know what I'm saying, or something. You know what I'm saying? You can at least go get a Pepsi or something, you know what I mean? So, all right. So that's two of them. The third one is after you get everything on a rope and you've got your products, your Legos, okay? Well, then obviously you have to have the service framework behind that to back it up. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me explain what that means. Okay, so whenever you have your Legos, you can actually now have a folder that includes everything it takes to deliver that Lego. Because you're beginning with the end in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's a checklist that literally, check, 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 check. Now you can get a monkey to do that shit in Tijuana. I don't care. Because whenever you got it this dialed in, now the skill set, the qualification of the people doing it, required to do it, goes way down. Meaning the amount you have to pay goes way down as well. And you're not beholden to anyone. You're beholden to your processes and your checklist, but you're not beholden to a person. That's huge. Okay? So you get your proposal in alignment. You get your project scope documents, your technical checklist, your sign-off, your phase sign-offs, your legal, everything is already done in a folder waiting for someone to sell that product.
Per Lego.
Mm. So now sales guys can go out there and say, okay, great. Google AdWords product number 1, website product number 4, and CRM product number 8 or whatever the hell it is. Okay. To the sales rep, that's like the Mac Daddy package. To service, that's Lego 1, 4, and 8.
Nice. I did.
They go double click on the folder. They go double click on the folder for Lego number 1. Bam. There's a scope document. They copy paste, find, replace. Game over.
Yeah.
Like literally onboarding a client takes you to complete all the documentation and everything. Takes 30 minutes. Then you got to schedule it, and it takes about 30 to 45 minutes to deliver it. And it's boom, boom, done. It's awesome. It's awesome. The unbelievable success we've gotten out of that one.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And so, and after that, okay, then you get into the value-based pricing, okay? And this is actually this is a big deal, okay? So everybody is always bitching about, I'm not getting paid what I'm worth and all these different things. And you're right. You're probably not. I agree with you 1,000,000%. Unless you're an idiot, and then I don't. And you know who you are. Okay, so, all right? You know who you are, okay? So, I mean, if you ain't ever done nothing and hoping you do something, then you're probably that guy. But anyway, so with that being said, value-based pricing comes by default whenever you get your product pricing in place, because in value-based pricing is obviously the definition of value-based pricing is you charge based upon the value that it delivers to the client, not the level of effort put in delivered. Two fundamentally different things. Okay. So if I have a Google AdWords account that I have sold 5 or 6 times to, a Cracker in Raleigh and Charlotte and wherever, well, I know that they work. The value to the client goes through the roof. The amount of time it takes for me to roll that back out goes through the basement. Mm-hmm. But the client is happy, happy, happy. The client does not care that it took me 5 hours to set that damn thing up and I charged them $3,000. They don't care. Mm.
And I can see people having objections to this because I see it all the time in our Facebook group where they people feel like because they're not doing the work, they don't feel like they should be charging for it. But it's like, I don't remember the analogy, but it's like the technician that comes around and, you know, looks at something and can tell you what's wrong with it, air conditioner or something.
I might even give you this, the cruise ship analogy. Did I tell you this?
No.
Here it is right here. Here it is. All right. There's this billion-dollar cruise ship by somebody out of Fort Lauderdale, you know, and I think this story's made up, but it's a great example. But,
yeah.
And, you know, it's this mega, mega cruise ship, city on the water, kind of huge, you know, Disney, whatever, big money cruise ship. And they got like 3,000 people, all of them paid $5,000 each to get on this thing, you know, and so they're like, holy crap, and they can't get started. The damn engine, everything else is running, the electricity, so it's going, but the engine itself, the thing to propel it back and forth, it won't start. So they call, you know, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, that's cruise ship capital of the world. So there's big cruise ship mechanics and engineering firms. And so they spend all this money, call all these people, rush work, get them out there. Nobody can figure out what the hell it is. Jump ahead one day. They have stalled with all the people on the boat as long as they can. People are starting to get pissed. People are starting to referee. They're starting to get ugly. And one of the guys on the boat's like, hey, man, you know, there's this old guy that lives down the street from me. I swear he's been a buddy of mine forever. And he's been working on cruise ships forever. And I'm, you know what? I mean, I don't even see what we got to lose. I mean, might as well give the guy a call. So they call him. Good God, call him. You know, we can't call him. Please call him. So they call him. The guy comes out there in his old little Chevrolet or whatever the hell it is, comes out there and his little toolbox and walks out there and he sits down. He sits in the engine room. It's like, okay, try to turn it over. It does what it does like that. And he's like, huh. Gets up and moves down a little bit. You know, sits down and, okay, try it again. Turn it over. You know, it doesn't start over like that. He sits there, and they do this for about an hour, man. It goes on about an hour. Next thing you know, out of the blue, he's like, ah, cool. He grabs his little back scratcher. In this case, it's a ball peen hammer. In my case, it's a back
scratcher. Lee's holding up a back scratcher.
He actually grabs his hammer.
Oh, you have a hammer in your office.
A hammer right there. Anyway, so I can't believe I said it. That's cool. Anyway, so he grabs a hammer. He goes over to the engine. He goes, and then puts his hammer back in his case. He says, okay, try it now. Boom, fires right up. And dudes are like, what the f- did you do? How did you? I don't even care what you do. Get off the boat. We got to move. Go. We don't just send me an invoice. We don't care. And so the guy's like, okay, great. So he goes home and he sends an invoice. It's $10,000. And the company replies back and says, dude, you were out there for an hour. What the hell is this? You by yourself in an old truck an hour? What the hell are you? What the hell was $10,000? And the guy's like, and so the purchasing agent, the agent that was going to pay it, says, can you give me an itemized receipt? Because I need to know what I'm paying for. So the guy's like, okay, sure, no problem. What was it? 1 hour of diagnosing or whatever like that, you know, $100 or whatever. Knowing where to tap, $9,900.
Exactly.
And so the example
I gave, learning and experience and everything.
That's 30 years, agency owners underestimate how much time they spend learning this stuff. Mm-hmm. Because they love it. They're passionate about it. So when they're reading blogs till midnight or they're watching a video or they're doing that kind of stuff, they don't really understand that that's not normal.
Yeah.
It's not normal, dude.
And it's what clients are paying for, right? Like, that's where
the value. So if you figure out a way to roll out a Google AdWords campaign that gets twice the results of anybody else and can charge twice as much, but it takes you a tenth of the time to roll out, your prospects do not care. They don't care. All they care is getting their phone to ring. That's all they care about. And if you can do that because you have a better, you know, better mousetrap, then sell the effing mousetrap. I mean, that's the point. That's the whole point, right? So value-based pricing, sell based upon the value delivered, not the actual level of effort. And again, be careful. If you don't have products on this and you do this with like custom work, you're going to lose your ass on that. Don't do it. There's time and place for everything. That's why, by the way, that's why having a coach is such a big deal. It helps out tremendously. Okay. So the fourth system is what's called bespoke equals be broke.
Oh yeah. Nice. I've not heard that before.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite little things. And so it's not really a system. It's more of a mindset you need to get into, understanding that anytime you do custom work, the odds are you're losing a lot of money, because whenever you start to sell products and you see the value and the happiness that your clients get out of it, and the value and the happiness you get out of it from not having to work your fingers to the bone, you're not going to want to sell any more custom shit.
Yeah. Period. And look, it's funny because we've done like the opposite, right? We've got rid of all our products and we only do custom stuff, but that's because that's like intentional and we don't actually do a lot of custom work. And when we do, it's all out like hourly based and we don't do the work anyway, right? So like our team handle it, and it's pretty much just because we have that development team that, so we can, and it helps us fund other things like content snare.
Exactly. Okay, so and then the next one is what's called existing clients. I highly recommend like kind of a slow bleed out on this. What you're going to find out is that the majority of your clients, when they see you roll out your products, they're going to be like, well, wait a second, that looks pretty cool. It's going to be almost always very positively received. Okay. You will have a few of those legacy clients that are accustomed to calling you on your cell phone at 9 o'clock at night. You know, that's, you know, and by definition, productization is going to help wean those people out of there. So that's a good thing. It might be painful at first, but it's a really good thing. So what's going to happen is you're not going to interrupt how your existing clients are getting serviced at all. You're going to continue to service them just like that. Okay. Until your product line overcomes that work in revenue.
Right.
And then you slow bleed it out. You kind of introduce it to your existing base via newsletter, website. Hey, we just launched a new website and some exciting new products. Go check it out. And you do this slowly over 6, 9, 12 months. And eventually you'll get to the point where there's only one or two left. And they're the biggest pain in the ass clients ever. And your products are selling. So you're it's a glorious day when you walk in and fire them. You're just like,
oh, yeah.
It is too. It really is. It's a glorious day. Oh, man. All right. So, let's see here. I covered them all.
No, I think
we're
up to number six, aren't we?
Yeah, I think that was number six.
Was it? Oh, I got number five.
Okay. Let's see. Highlighting the essentials. Okay, so yeah, no, I've just got
So we've got everything on a rope. I had as number one, and then number two, I've got Legos pricing in pieces. Number three, wow. Service delivery of said Legos.
Yeah.
Four is value based pricing.
Yep.
Five is transitioning from your legacy clients to existing.
Well, no. Five was bespoke equals be broke.
Oh, that was an item, yeah. Right.
Yep. And six is existing clients. So I was like, man, wait a second. I know existing clients is number six. And so either my math's off or I'm still my
brain. My bad. We went through that one real fast. Yeah.
Yeah. My brain is still in the holiday break area, but I knew that was number six. So I said, but
that was my bad.
Yeah, and actually, the reason I know I'm writing my book about all of this, I got a book that's coming out pretty soon here.
Oh, nice.
In 5 days. Yeah, it's called Agency Success Roadmap. Okay. And so it literally walks you through the productization model, how to niche out. There's 12 chapters, and each chapter is intended to get one system in place a month within your agency. And I'm super excited about it.
So, and when is this due out?
This is coming out in about 45 days, 30 to 45 days, depending on how fast it moves around. I can wrap it up.
So I think this interview will be out before then. So is there somewhere we can send people early? Like if you got somewhere they can sign up now?
Yeah, marketing. No, there's nowhere to go that you can sign up right now. But trust me, if you're on my list, you will hear a lot about it. Okay, so marketingagencycoach.com. Just go there and get some of the freebies and the goodies there. And if you're on the list, then you'll get notified about it. Same thing with my Facebook group. Marketing Agency Success Group is the name of the group.
Mm-hmm. And I will be dropping links to both of these in the show notes at agencyhighway.com.
Okay, perfect. And and the agencysuccessroadmap.com will be the URL that the landing page is up. We're going to give it away free, plus shipping. We're going to do the show. I can't move my ass. I mean, it's already
going to talk. Agencysuccessroadmap.com. You know that by the time this interview comes out, you might even have time to get that launched.
I'm hoping I'll have that. Like, if not, then I'll tell you what I will at least have. I'll have a forwarder where it bounces to the right spot. So
yeah, nice. Awesome.
Definitely. So, well, all righty, James, I think that about wraps it up. So, you're in Australia, right?
I am. And I'm just about to go into a meeting with a bespoke client, but you know what? We're going to try and sell them on a product. We've got this big idea of what they want, and we're like, there's a pretty good product idea in this, like another SaaS product. So we're like, how about we build that and you pay us for it?
That actually is kind of that's kind of the evolution of how productization really evolves. Is because now that you got in your case, it's bespoke to product, but whenever you actually have some products and you get out there in the market, they're going to see, oh, great, and this company can do products. And the people are going to approach you to do products that they can sell for you. Mm-hmm. That's fucking awesome, I'm going to tell you right now, because again, once you get it dialed in, then it's like, I'm telling you, it snowballs. It's wonderful. This productization model that we have perfected, to my knowledge, no one else out there has it. I'm sure that they will as soon as people see what I got, they'll start ripping it off. but this productization model we have rolled out over the past year and stress testing it with dozens and dozens of my one-on-one coaching students, and it's fucking unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Isn't it so cool when you can say that kind of thing with confidence about your own service, right? Like, yeah, it's such a good feeling. Awesome. Like when we got to the point where our team were just absolutely killing it with custom development. And, you know, before that, it's kind of like, yeah, no, we can build custom stuff. And now I'm like, nope, I know we build better stuff than all of the high-end agencies in our in our city, pretty much, that I know of, and we do it at like half the price, right? Because we're hiring other countries, because we don't have a big office, we don't have all the bullshit, and we're just, you know, now I can confidently say that. It's such a freaking good feeling.
It's a good feeling, man. Whenever I used to tell my prospects, I'd be like, look here, buddy, it's not if you want to hire me, it's if you can afford me.
Boom.
It's that simple. And when I was saying, don't say that unless you got the kind of proof that we had, right?
Correct.
Meaning that, you know, Ultimate Marketer of the Year winners and runner-ups and Entrepreneur Magazine awards and elite finalists, all these awards and all this stuff, you know what I'm about? And so by the time they heard about us, they probably heard about us through one of the lots and lots of awards that we won, and then they did their homework. They say, oh crap, they won all of these awards. Then they go look at the competition, and none of the competition had any of those awards. And so by the time they got on the phone with me, it wasn't if they wanted to work with me. They already knew that I was more expensive. They already knew it. They knew before they got on the phone with me that I was going to be a lot more expensive and a lot better. And I was.
Well, okay. What an awesome filter. That's almost another topic to go PR and awards.
That's social proof. It's called brand positioning, and I have an entire course on this. It's in my book too, so it's nice. All of that's in there. So, and I also have, guess what else I have? I have a 10-year-old little girl that's sitting in there doing her homework quietly, which I'm getting a little worried about because it's too damn quiet. I've got to go check on her to make sure my house isn't going to burn down, dude. James, thank you so much for having me on, and agency, you know, I just thank you so much for having me on.
No worries, and thanks for joining me. There's like a lot of value in this episode, I think, we're going to use your value-based pricing to charge nothing for it, as usual. You guys are all getting this for free, so thank you so much for sharing all this awesome info, Lee.
You're very welcome, man. I hope to have me back again one day. And again, the book is coming out in about 45 days. That's going to be Agency Success Roadmap.
Hey, you beat me to it, because I was just about to reshare that. I remember agencysuccessroadmap.com and marketingagencycoach.com to check out Lee and his stuff.
That's it. And there's the book is going to be out, and there's a group coaching program that comes along with it. So there's a lot of options if you guys are looking to grow, sell, or scale your agency. I'm your boy, Blue.
I love it. Thanks, Lee. Yeah, that's it. Let's wrap it up there. If you've enjoyed this episode, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review to help me sort of stroke my ego and get through the day. share it with anyone you think will get something out of it. So thank you very much for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.
Discover how to grow your agency, earn more, and work less at agencyhighway.com. Head over there to get resources from this episode and full transcripts. See you next time. This episode was brought to you by Content Snare. If you're a digital agency or just need to get content or info from your clients, Content Snare can help you collect it on time and without enormous email trails. Give it a try at contentsnare.com.